11. Romans chapter 11, as we work our way through the book for the second time. Romans chapter 11. We're on a section where Paul is using Israel as a reminder to us and as an example for us. Romans chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 16 and read through verse 24 today. Romans 11, starting in verse 16. If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partakers with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to nature to a cultivated olive tree, how much more will those who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the example you've given here. And the warning to an organized group, the warning given to the church, the religious church. Father, the warning that can come through the example that he has given here. Father, I pray that you would help us to recognize this for what it is and see it. And Lord, understand, and because of that, to see that an attitude of pride is exactly opposite of what you have for us. Father God, thank you so much for giving us such a great honor and such a great privilege to be called your branches, to be called children of the Heavenly Father, to be called your children. We love you, we honor and worship your name. Father God, let us be the vessels of light that others might see you in us. Thank you so much for working through us. We don't deserve it. We love you, honor and worship your name. In Jesus' name, amen. We've come to this place in Romans, knowing that Paul wrote the book. He wrote it about justification by faith alone. And he shows that, he builds on that by showing us how we're condemned without Jesus Christ. He shows us the faith of Abraham and how we are spiritual children of Abraham. And we'll touch on that today as we get into this. But then he goes on and shows us that the world is justified, and then it's a process of just simply accepting, lambano, to receive that justification. But then he talks about sin. So should sin be even be a part of this? He says, meganoita, it shouldn't even be thought of, shouldn't be part of our life, our existence. Yes, we do sin, but that's not. And then he goes on in chapter 7 and says, yeah, we do sin and we don't do what we want to do. We do what we don't want to do. And the conclusion of that is, wretched man that I am. Who can save me from this body of death? And he says, thanks be to God. And then in chapter 8, he says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That to me is a conclusion that just is so uplifting. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He goes on in chapter 8, talks about the security of the believer, and gets to chapter 9 through 11, talks about Israel, God's heart for Israel, how he is keeping his promises, will keep his promises, And then Paul's heart for Israel in chapter 10 and his desire that all of them would be saved for salvation. But how God has saved a remnant of believers in Israel. And then we get to chapter 11. We get to chapter 11 and talk about Israel's rejection being foretold, being prophesied. As we get into this, we'll see that God will restore. He will restore Israel, and we'll see that today. What I want to look at today is take it to the church's heart attitude as we get into this. The church's heart attitude. First thing I want to see is God's promise, his promises to the patriarchs. Look at verse 16. For if the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. The first piece, the word first piece, is literally it's the first fruit. If the first fruit is holy, the rest is. If the root is holy, the branches are. Now, in the Old Covenant, under the Old Covenant, what these people would have known is you take the first, a small batch of the bread or the whatever you had made. You take a small batch and you make a cake. That's what you presented in the temple, and you gave it so that the priest had food. Remember, the priest depended on the sacrifices given in the temple. That was their substance. The priest didn't own land. They didn't have what the other people had. They were dependent on what God provided for them there. But the point was, you gave that, and then all of it was set apart for God. It was part of his substance. It was part of him, of what he had. And then you look at the picture of a root of a tree and the branches. The root, if the root is holy, the whole tree is holy. He says that. In both of these cases, what he's talking about is the promises that he made to the patriarchs of Israel. Remember, he's talking about Israel here. He's talking about the fact that they rejected God. God didn't reject them. God gave promises to them. They rejected God, and someday they will come back to God, and we'll talk about that. But the picture that he has here is that God promised Abraham. God promised Isaac and Jacob. He promised David. He made his covenants with these folks, the patriarchs, the early fathers of Israel. And he said, through you, I will bless all the nations. All of them will be blessed. He's talking about the Messiah coming. He's talking about the fact that the Gentiles will be blessed the same way as Jews. The Gentiles will have an opportunity to believe. He's talking about way back there with Abraham. So the root would be the promises that he made, not the patriarchs themselves, but the promises that he made to the patriarchs. And the tree is a picture of Israel. The tree is a picture of Israel. The branches are the people of Israel. So get that picture in your mind. Now remember, I'm going to go back and forth here a little bit, but what we're talking about is physical Israel and spiritual Israel, okay? This tree represents the spiritual Israel, and that's why the branches were broken off. The branches that are broken off are those who are not believing. Those are not of the faith of Abraham. And we'll see that as we get into it. But so we're talking about spiritual Israel. We're talking about physical. But we're also talking about the church. As we get into this, we're going to see that the church, we have the church, the organization of the church and the organism of the church. I'm going to use both of those terms. The organization of the church can be seen in any religious way, in any religious society, any religious gathering. The organism of the church is believers, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, those who have put their faith in him. He says that in verse, he gives that illustration in verse 16. And in verse 17, he goes on through 21 and talks about the heart attitude of the corporate church or the organizational religion. He says in verse 17, but if some of the branches were broken off and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. He says, if some, and the word if is a first-class condition. It means since. says, since this happened, since this is true, since some of the branches were broken off, and the word broken off is a very abrupt word, cut off quickly, cut off entirely, broken off, and a wild olive was grafted in. Now, I want you to think about this, because they would have known what he was talking about. There was many olive trees there. They would have understood, in Israel anyway, but there was, olives were grown around that area. They would have understood what he was saying here, because there was two ways to look at this. An olive tree could go hundreds of years. It could be hundreds of years old. And when an olive tree was getting old, what they would do, they would take the branches of another olive tree and graft them into this olive tree, and it would actually revitalize the tree itself. So the tree would produce even more. That's one picture, okay? But I don't think that's the picture that he's presenting here. The picture he's presenting here didn't make sense to them. Because what the olive farmers especially would do, they would take a branch from a cultivated olive tree, and they would strip a branch off of a wild olive tree and graft that branch in. So the cultivated branch would suck the juice from the wild olive tree, and it would take that line, and it would make good fruit. What he says here is that a wild olive branch is put onto the tame tree, to the cultivated tree, which to them was exactly backwards from what you naturally did. So to them, they were saying, you know what? This doesn't work. This doesn't work in nature. This goes completely against it. And if you look down in verse 24, it says, "For if you were cut off from what is by nature, a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature to a cultivated tree." That's why I believe what he's talking about here is something supernatural instead of something natural. What he's saying here is this goes completely against what an olive farmer would do. And what God has done goes completely against what you think he should have done. But what he has done is to create fruit, is to cultivate good fruit. Because those branches were not bearing fruit, because they were not spiritual Israel. What he has cut off, what he had cut off was unbelieving Israel. So now, and again, remember, God has set Israel aside. He has, for 2,000 years, he used Israel to share God's love with the world, to show God's love to the world. And Israel said, no, we want it for ourselves. Israel became very proud in what they had. The advantages that God gave them, the privileges he gave them, they became very proud. So God set them aside. And he grafted in Christians, he grafted in believers, grafted in Gentiles into the spiritual tree that he calls life. The tree that he began with the patriarch, the promises he gave to bless the world, to show God's love to the world. And so now these wild olive branches are producing the fruit, his fruit that he desires. So there's the picture. Keep that in mind. Look at verse 17. Go on with verse 17. "If some of the branches," and since it's true, "some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker," I love how he puts that, "grafted in among them and became partaker with them." All right? He's showing the solidarity of Christians, the unity of believers, the fact that those who were still there were believers. "Among them and became partakers with them of the rich root of the olive tree," which is the promises that God gave. Not the patriarchs themselves, but the promises that God gave. He says, "Do not be arrogant toward the branches." He says, "Do not," and the word "not" is very emphatic word. "Do not be arrogant." The word "arrogant" is to boast against, despise, or to have more power. He says, don't be boasting or despising or even having more, thinking you have more power than the branches that were broken off. It was the attitude, the heart attitude that he was going after. Those who were removed, the branches broken, who were removed because of rejecting their Messiah. And it was the nation, it wasn't all the individuals in the nation, but it was the nation as a whole. It was the governmental nation that he removed. And he did so because of unbelief, because they didn't believe. And we'll see that. Keep going. That's verse 18. Do not be arrogant towards the branches, but if, and that word if, again, is a first class condition. It means since. But since there was a problem going on here, Paul is addressing a problem that was happening here. But since you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. He says, since you are being arrogant, since you are despising them, since you are being boastful and think you have a greater stand than these that God has set aside because of their unbelief, we'll learn. He says, since you are doing that, recognize this. Remember this fact. The root supports you. You don't support the root. The root being God's promises. God's promises support you. You don't make it possible for God's promises to work. See how he's doing this? What happens in... I believe he's talking to a church group here. He's not talking specifically just to Christians, all right? He is talking about the organized church in Rome. Rome was the greatest nation at that time. In that day, Rome was the height. It's just like America is the height today. I mean, you go anywhere and they all know about America. Some of them despise us, some of them don't. But they all know about America. Why? Because it's a great nation. Because we have had such an impact on our history is amazing. In such a short amount of time, our nation has grown so great. Israel thought they were like that. Rome was like that. Rome had that standing. Well, this is the church in Rome. This was a church that thought they had an outstanding place. All right, so he's talking to the organization of the church here. All right, not necessarily the organism, the organization. But I believe the impact on the organism, those believers, I believe that impact is, hey, keep your heart intact. Check your heart. Okay, keep going. Verse 18. Remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root, those promises are what support you. And the word support is to pick up or to carry or endure or provide for. Those promises provide for us. We as Christians have the spiritual root or the spiritual heritage of believing patriarchs. We have the spiritual heritage of Abraham. We can look at our life and say, well, I don't know that I can trace my ancestry back to Abraham. It doesn't matter. You can trace your spiritual ancestry back to Abraham because Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. How did you get saved? You believed God and it was credited to you as righteousness. You believed God and you became the righteousness of God in Christ. He became sin for you. You became his righteousness. The righteousness of God in him. It's an amazing, amazing concept. You became grafted into this whole tree, the spiritual tree, as part of the church. And you believed. And because of your belief, you draw from that rich root. But there were others drawing from that root. There's the organization of the church, which we'll get into in a minute. Let's go on to verse 19. Here comes the question that he knows is going to be asked. Before we do that, I wanted to look at what that root is. Well, real quickly, OK? because we've talked about the patriarchs. We've talked about the promises given to the patriarchs. But when we look at, like, Hebrews chapter 12 says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What are those witnesses? The great cloud of witnesses are in Hebrews chapter 11. The Great Faith Hall of Fame. It's those people who had trusted God and who God had used and who had even died because of that. But it's the patriarchs. It's the ones whom God had used throughout the centuries to show his love, to carry forth his love and his grace. And we as a church, we as Gentiles have been blessed because of this. Let's go on to verse 19. You will say then, this is the proud response that he knows is going to be coming. Not from true believers, but from the church organization. Okay, he knows this response is going to be coming. He says, you're going to say this then. Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Branches were broken off, and he uses the word henna, in order that we may be grafted in. You see the pride oozing from that? You see what Paul is addressing here? What happened to Israel? Why did God set them aside? Because they became proud in their legalistic system. And God could no longer use them to reach the world because God uses a humble heart. What was said about Moses? What did God say about Moses? This is the most humble man who has ever lived. That's what God said about Moses. And he used him. Yeah, he fell into problems. He had issues. But God used him to grow the nation. God uses that. So it was pride that he set aside. And I believe Paul is looking here at the organization of the church going on in Rome. And think about the influence that Rome had on that church. The church was to influence the culture. Just think about the culture that was influencing the church, because Rome was a debauched place. It was not a great place to raise kids. That influence was there. But the Roman church had become, at some point, at least partially, very proud. Because Paul was addressing a prideful question. He says, you're going to say this. Branches were broken off so that it's all about me. It's all about what God has done for me. Guess what? God just needed me. He knew what I'd be like. He knew I'd be so great. God needs us. As soon as you say God needs you, there's a problem, okay? God doesn't need us. He uses us. He loves us. He wants us. He doesn't need us. But the whole attitude was, hey, all that was done for me, for us. And look at Paul's response, verse 20. Quite right. He says it's true. That's a true statement. It was. They were broken off. But why? Not so that you could have a great place. They were broken off. You have a great place. God has now placed Gentiles into the aspect of the church so that the church can reach out to the world. And we have a great opportunity, a great advantage. We have been given great advantages. He says, that's true, but that's not the reason. The reason is because of their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. And the word stand there is in the it's in the perfect. It's in perfect tense. You completely, fully stand because of faith, because of belief. The word faith is belief or trust. You stand because of trust. They have fallen because of unbelief. You stand because of belief. Faith is belief. It is trust. The church. It's amazing. Because the word stand here, I think that's later on. We I don't even know how to put this. We in this church, we don't stand tall and proud because of the blessings that God gives. We should be humbled because of the blessings that God gives. You see, so often, and I believe he's talking to a church here that was standing proud because of what God has given. But when we recognize what God truly has given, and we recognize what we truly deserve, that shouldn't make us proud. That should do the exact opposite. When we look at it realistically, instead of looking at it through the eyes of the flesh, which we're so prone to do, which we have done so often. The church, in fact, the corporate church has a history of pride because of the position that God has placed us in. How he has used us. Unbelievers within the church take extreme pride, which goes before destruction. And even we can get sucked, we as believers can get sucked up into that. And that's why there is a warning. Look what he says at the end of that verse. He says, do not be conceited, but fear. The word conceited is made up of two words, to think and tall. He says, don't be thinking yourself too tall. Don't be thinking of yourself too big. The word, it can be tall or high, arrogant, very valuable, or a world above others. He says, don't be thinking of yourself as a world above these people. Don't be thinking of yourself as higher than these who were cut off. But fear. Because what has happened to them can happen to you. Not believers. We're not talking about the organism. We're talking about the organization. What happened to Israel, God cutting them off, can happen to the church, the religious institution of the church. And folks, it will happen to the religious institution of the church. He says, on the other hand, fear. That word fear is to stand in awe of God. When that happens, pride goes the opposite direction. Look at verse 21. For since God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. And he's talking about you, the corporate body of the church. He did. He took Israel, whom he gave many promises to, whom he loved, and set them aside, took the natural branches off to graft in the church. And those who are believers are grafted in and bearing fruit. Those who are not believers are not. But he says, listen, you're going to, I can take that off just the same way as I did Israel off. And in fact, he will during the tribulation, which I've got, well, in verse 21 there, if God did not spare, and the word spare is avoid. If God did not avoid the natural branches, neither will he spare you. In Revelation chapter 4, it talks about Laodicea. I wanted to go to these, but we're going to run out of time. Revelation chapter 4 says, he says, I stand at the door and knock. What door? Individuals? No. The door of the corporate church. He says, these are seven churches that I'm talking about. The church in Laodicea, I stand at the door and knock. You say, we're rich and we have need of nothing. Don't you know you're poor, blind, and naked? Don't you understand? He's talking about the organization, the religious organization of the church. He says, I'm knocking at the door, and you're not even letting me in. You go to Revelation chapter 17, it talks about the harlot and what's going on in the tribulation. I'd love to get into that, but it's just no time. But those two passages, I believe, talk about the organization of the church. And this will happen during the tribulation when the two witnesses are there, when the 144,000 Jewish witnesses are there. And Israel will turn back. But we'll see that later. Anyway, go on to verse 22. I want to look at God the heart gardener here. Verse 22. Behold, and that word behold is very emphatic. He says, this is like, hey, everyone, look at this. Check it out. Okay, that's the type of word behold is. Behold, the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. The kindness and severity of God. Kindness is the word goodness. To use Israel's failure for the good of the Gentiles. That's the kindness of God. to use the church for his glory. That's the kindness of God. That's the goodness of God. Severity is to sharply cut for those who fell. Israel, why did they fall? Because of unbelief, because they didn't believe their Messiah. But to you, the church, kindness. To you, the goodness of God. If you continue in his kindness, and there I believe he's talking about the organization of the church. If you continue, because that if is not a first-class condition. It doesn't mean since. That if is conditional. If the church is the body, if the church is the corporate body, continues in the kindness of God, otherwise you also will be cut off. Now we know from Scripture that he does not cut off those who have believed in him. He says in Philippians chapter 1, he says, he who began a good work will complete it. We're talking about Jesus, what he has done in us, how he works with us as believers. But the church age, will be cut off. It will end. There will be a severity because of, I believe, because of pride. Look at verse 23. And they also, talking about Israel, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Let's go to 24 too. For if you were, he just gives the same scenario, if you were cut off by what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more? And this is what this is why I believe the millennial kingdom is going to be amazing. Because he says, how much more, how much greater, how much more will those who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? In other words, how much greater fruit can you get from the natural branches than a wild olive branch? And God has given us fruit. What's the spiritual fruit, by the way? Galatians chapter 5, right? 6, 5. Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Meekness, self-control. All of the fruit God gives us, heart. The heart fruit, our attitudes, are what comes from our heart, because God's given us a new heart. He has put the organization of the church, and the church is to reach out to the world and to show God's love to the world. But what has the church done throughout the centuries? I mean, think about it. Think about the organized church and how we have had the dark ages, how we've had the recession, how are the... Crusades, the Reformation, all of these things. It has been the organization of the church that has persecuted the organism of the church. Catch that? It has been the organization of the church that has persecuted the organism of the church because they haven't fit into their box of legalism. They haven't fit into their box of religion. I believe what Paul here is doing is warning these people, you know what? Make sure you don't get caught up into the organization of the church. Make sure you're part of the organism of the church. I'm not saying there shouldn't be organization in our church, okay? Let's not go there. What I'm saying is a lot of people think that because they have a religion, they're okay with God. And the religious church is going to be cut off someday. And during the tribulation, it's going to be shown that they're going to be cut off. But true believers in Jesus Christ will persevere. True believers in Jesus Christ, I believe, will be raptured, will be taken home at that point. But true believers in Jesus Christ are the organism of the living church of Jesus Christ, is what I would call it. He's saying, be careful not to grasp that, not to fall into that attitude of pride. Because throughout the ages, the church has sometimes even led the government. During the Reformation period, the church was in charge of the government. And I believe that's why they ran into such problems. But the church is to be like Christ, which is humble and meek. So don't get caught up in religion. Religion is what put Christ on the cross. Religious Israel condemned their Messiah. That's what religious Israel did. The church will it will not answer the door to Christ. At the end times, the church isn't even going to answer the door to Christ. Not believers, but the church, the organization of the church. So what is our position in this? What is he talking about? I believe he's hitting quite heftily on pride. And how can we defeat pride? How can we look at our life and say, you know what, I don't want to be proud. How do I keep from it? Know your Father. Know your Father. The more you know God, the more you know what he has given to you, the less you will look at yourself, and the more you will say, you know what, I am not worthy. Because it's true, we are not worthy. He has put his worthiness on me. I'm not worthy, but he is. He has put that upon us, upon you, upon believers. He has put his worthiness on it. That puts us into a great advantage, a wonderful position, that if we get proud about it, then we've fallen into the same mistakes that Israel did. But if we recognize the truth that God has given us out of his love and his grace and his mercy, that creates a humble heart. And that's the heart that God can use. That's the heart that he desires to use. So know God. Trust God. Pray for Israel. Pray for the people to believe. Pray for people in Israel, the Israelites, the Jews, to believe. Pray for your neighbors to come to belief in Jesus Christ. Yield to the Spirit as he works in you and through you. Even if the way seems mundane. Even if life seems mundane. Even if life causes circumstances that go away in which you find hard. Continue to trust. Continue to trust God, knowing that he is in control. Remain faithful no matter what. And I know I keep coming back, but no matter what our country does, no matter what our Supreme Court says, remain faithful. Remain faithful to who God is and what he has given us. Love the Lord God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul. You are secure in him. You're not secure in this world. But know this, that religion is not going to help you, but your relationship with Jesus Christ is where you find your security. Trust God. In all of this, Israel thought they had it. Israel thought they had it made because they were religious. Folks, if you have grown up in the church and think that you have it made because you know all the right hymns and you know some verses, and don't let religion take the life out of you. If you need to understand, if you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'd love to show you from God's word how you can have that. If you have that, which I believe there, I know you. Okay, so I'm preaching to the choir here. I know you. And I know that at least in most of your lives, I've talked to you about your relationship with Christ. Know this, that Satan can and has in the past, he will in the future, he wants to use pride in your life. Recognize that pride. Recognize it. And then bow to the will of God, because God's desire, God's heart is to use a humble heart. God's heart is just for us to look realistically at ourselves and what God's done for us. That humbling in and of itself. Be realist. Just look realistically at what God has done. And we will know our place. We will know and we will treasure humility. We'll treasure it. So pray for others. Don't think that because we have God's love on us that we are so great. We're not. We have been blessed tremendously. And it's not because of who we are or what we've done. It's because his love for us. Let's close in prayer.